A report from one front in what looks like a brewing trade war. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In response to U.S. penalties on imported steel and aluminum, there's news today China will hit $3 billion worth of U.S. goods with tariffs of its own. This is the battle over metal. It's not yet a response to $60 billion in other tariffs the U.S. has announced targeting China specifically. For more, I'm joined by Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, so what's on this list from China and who gets hurt over here?
Well, the list includes 128 U.S. imports, so producers of oranges and lemons and wine from California will hurt from this 15% tariff. And also a 25% tariff will be placed on American pork from places like Iowa and Ohio. China is the third largest market for pork producers, worth $1.1 billion last year.
Now, this is a response to U.S. steel and aluminum tariffs, but China's also been saying that the impact of those tariffs on China will be relatively small?
Yes, the direct impact is smaller to China. But the U.S. has granted temporary exemptions to many steel and aluminum exporting countries. Now, the Trump administration hopes those nations will place a limit on their own imports of Chinese-made steel and aluminum, which can then further be processed and then exported to the U.S. So basically, the U.S. is indirectly trying to reduce China's steel production. Now, the Ministry of Finance here has said that the tariffs produce severe damage to China's interest and that the U.S. is violating global trade rules.
All right. Now, this isn't over. More to come, you think?
Definitely. Each side is taking incremental steps while they're talking very tough. The move today, the tariffs, are really just a tiny fraction of U.S. imports into China. Now, if China really wants to hurt the U.S., it could attack soybeans and Boeing airplanes. So far, it hasn't. But of course, the U.S. has said it's planning to put tariffs on Chinese products worth up to $60 billion. So we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Jennifer Pak is our China correspondent from our bureau in Shanghai. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tried to check markets here, but stock markets in Europe are off for Easter Monday. It's a trading day in the U.S. Dow and S&P futures are down 0.25% each, down more for the NASDAQ future. Spotify, you sign up and click on the songs you want to hear. It's the number one music streaming company, and its stock trades publicly for the first time tomorrow. About half of Spotify's 160 million users are paid subscribers. The company is looking forward to all this stockholder money instead of borrowing, Marketplace's Renata Sego explains.
Over the past decade, Spotify's made millions of songs easily accessible and thousands of playlists customizable. The company's ahead in the race to monetize digital music consumption. But there's a catch, music industry analyst Bob Lefsetz.
The more money they make, the more money they have to pay out.
Spotify raked in $4.9 billion last year, but nearly 80% of that went to record labels and publishers for royalties. Last year, Spotify worked out licensing deals to pay Sony, Warner, and Universal Music Group slightly lower percentages, and it'll be years before Spotify can renegotiate.
These companies have to survive, and they have to say yes, too.
To succeed, Spotify can't count on content getting cheaper. Sirona Elton heads the music business program at the University of Miami.
Ultimately, they're going to have to lower their other costs, marketing costs, overhead costs.
So Wall Street is watching as the Spotify IPO launches to a familiar chorus. It must be the money. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. Now to who's minding the children, a California example. In the last decade, the number of licensed in-home daycare facilities has been falling in that state, leaving especially low-income residents in the lurch. From KPCC in Los Angeles, Priska Neely reports.
For 17 years, Jackie Jackson's living room doubled as a little world for children to explore. There was the mobile science area, and there was creative writing and art area.
As soon as she starts to remember, her eyes fill with tears.
I like talking about the daycare, but it's so emotional because I didn't have to close.
Last year, she shut down her home daycare in Los Angeles County. She says as circumstances changed for the family she served, she could no longer make ends meet.
Hours were cut. Some people were losing their jobs.
Jackson Family Daycare is one of thousands California has lost in the last decade. Since 2008, the state has seen a 26% decline in the number of these small businesses. That's according to a recent report from the California Child Care Resource and Referral Network.
That's a lot of kids who are missing out on that type of care.
That's Rowena Camo, the research director for the group. And Camo says the decline is concerning because home daycares meet needs that other settings often don't.
They're much more affordable, more likely to care for infants and toddlers.
There are a number of factors behind the decline. The workforce is getting older, the cost of living is higher, and wages for providers are low. On average, they earn about $12 an hour. Funding is also an issue. Susan Savage with the Child Care Resource Center says the state is putting dollars into pre-K programs offered by schools rather than into support for home daycares.
Because we're not investing in the diversity of the types of child care, we're reducing access for parents who often work non-traditional hours.
And the demand is high. According to the latest child care needs assessment in LA County, 87% of working parents with infants and toddlers don't have access to licensed care. Jackie Jackson recently got a call from one of her former students looking for a spot for his own child.
And so he says, well, who's going to get my baby now? It's like, well, we'll find you someone really good.
Making those recommendations is getting harder and harder to do. In Los Angeles, I'm Priska Neely for Marketplace.
And are they annoying or exercises in critical thinking and media literacy? The fake April Fool's news yesterday. Lots of product placement. Heinz coming out with chocolate mayonnaise. Burger King with a chocolate burger. Yeah, neither true. Mr. Musk over at Tesla pulled it off with some panache, I have to say, tweeting that his electric car company had gone bankrupt, claiming that the CEO is found passed out against a Tesla Model 3 surrounded by Tesla Kila bottles, quote, the tracks of dried tears still visible on his cheeks. It is true that Tesla bond yields soared last week, a sign investors have grown more skeptical of that company. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.